Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for bearing with me. So we'll do a more concise shiur today, but you all get extra brownie points in the heavens for staying on. Okay, so we haven't been together in a few weeks, Pesach and then other stuff going on. But so the Gemara that I want to do today is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia basically depicts the relationship between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were two of the Amoraim, and their relationship that they had with one another is legendary on many levels, but in particular because of the fact that they were chavrusas, they learned together. But what's most amazing about the story is how they came to learn together, because what the Gemara reveals, and there are other Gemaras and other statements of Chazal that seem to allude to a sordid past that Reish Lakish had, but basically Reish Lakish was a rabbi who did not start off as a rabbi in any stretch of the imagination. He was very much so off the derech, as they say. He was some sort of a robber, some sort of a bandit. It's a little bit of a dispute. Did he start off as like a frum guy and then go off and then come back? Or did he just not, was he not born into a very holy existence and then he became a rabbi later on? So let's take a look at the Gemara and we'll analyze it together. And in particular, what I want you to be thinking about is what is the deeper message that the Gemara wants us to take out of this? Because I think there is one singular message that sort of is the overarching theme of this. But just to think about towards the end. But so let's begin. So Yom Echad, one day, Havakas Sachi Rabbi Yochanan Biyardina. So all of a sudden, one day, Rabbi Yochanan was taking a bath in the Jordan River, as you do, and Chazi Reish Lakish, and he sees Reish Lakish, or rather, Reish Lakish saw him, Ushvar Liyardina, and Reish Lakish jumped into the water, Abasre, going after him. And so, not entirely clear what this means, but it would seem that this guy, Reish Lakish, was going to attack Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish was not a firm guy at this point. He saw a rabbi, he hated rabbis, so he was going to attack him. Amar lei chelach la'araisa, and so he says back to him that you're such a strong man that your strength is fit for Torah study. Let's actually do this side by side. Right, yeah, that your strength is fit. You have such strength within you that you really should be studying Torah. Amar lei shufrach l'nashe, and so he says back to Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan that your beauty is fit for women. And so a little known fact about Rabbi Yochanan is that he was considered to be one of the most good-looking rabbis of the time. Amar lei, I hadrat bach yehavena lach achusi. So he says to him that if you go ahead and return to Torah, which again, this would indicate that Reish Lakish lived a life previously of Torah and then he went off. But if you go back to Torah, then I'll give you my sister in marriage, the Shapira Minai, who's more beautiful than I am. So it's a pretty good deal. He'll get a very attractive wife, and the Rabbi Yochanan will feel great because he was Makari of Rabbi Reish Lakish to go back to learning Torah. So Kabel Alei, and so he accepts upon him he accepts the deal, so he starts to learn Torah, and the deal is that he'll get his sister. And Reish Lakish wanted to jump back out of the river to bring his clothes back on, but he was unable to do this. And so basically, what the Gemara is implying over here is that the second Reish Lakish made the decision to commit his strength to learning Torah and not to the physical pursuits that he relied on, or that he previously had been involved in, so he lost his strength immediately. Now, what is the Gemara trying to convey over here? Because likely for us, this is not something that happens regularly. If you decide all of a sudden that you want to pursue something else in life, you don't just magically have, you know, resources in your body transfer from one section of your physicality to another section. So what is the Gemara trying to get at over here? Why are they, how could this happen? And what is the message behind it? That the strength would be transferred from his physical strength to his Torah learning abilities in an instant.
You don't need physicality to study Torah.
Okay, so Maurice says something interesting. It's that not necessarily that the strength went to the Torah study, but more that you don't need the physical, you don't need the physical strength to learn Torah. And so therefore, it sort of just became diminished. And maybe what Maurice is hinting to is that the drive for Reish Lakish to be a bodybuilder, in a sense, went away. And so it's not that it literally left his body. It's just that it was no longer a priority for him. So he literally couldn't even bring himself to lift up his heavy body at this point to get his clothes. Walter?
Sort of a parable. What's being said here is we're dealing with a present situation, but prior to that, I think this is the meaning. Here you have someone, I'm using the word wasted, his energy and his time on physical strength swimming, when he should have been studying Torah. And at this point now, look what happened to him. All right, he made this agreement that he will study Torah, but the but is, I don't know what his age is, but he can't now. The strength has been lost. The strength that should have been used effectively years past. That's what I'm picking up.
Okay, but the question is why all of a sudden?
Why all of a sudden?
Yeah, meaning the Gemara records that it was instantaneous. He decided that he's going to become a Torah scholar, and so all of a sudden the physical strength left him.
Lost his chance?
What do you mean?
As I said, there was a point in his life when he could immerse himself in Torah, where he could have expended the energy and the intellect, which is necessary. But he decided at an earlier point in his life, no. And he chose another path, but it just may be too late, and it's a warning to people. That's how I'm picking
up. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, the Gemara is saying the opposite. The Gemara is saying that he specifically decided to commit himself to learning Torah, and now he is going to be able to go back to it, but he just won't be able to maintain his physical strength anymore. Right? And he literally became as weak as anything physically. Okay, so I think that Maurice probably has the right idea. I mean, certainly one perspective over here is that we might take it at face value that for whatever reason it was some sort of a miracle that Reish Lakish was destined to be this rabbi, and the second he decided to take his mind off of it to become something else, maybe it was a miracle. But the other perspective that you might take is that of Maurice, or at least similar to it, which is to say that Reish Lakish was putting a lot of time and energy into living this lifestyle of being a robber or a bandit, this bodybuilder that he was. And the moment that he decided that he didn't want to be it anymore, it's not necessarily that he lost his strength, but it's almost that he lost the will to only follow physicality. And when he lost that will to only follow physicality, well, then he literally, he just couldn't lift his body anymore, because again, his body was so heavy from the muscle that he had amassed, and so he couldn't even lift that up anymore, because he was just so done with this life and he only wanted to pursue a lifestyle of Torah.
I agree with you, but could term body, goof, could that be like a metaphor? You know, yes, it's a body, it's lost its strength, but I'm just saying, I'm agreeing with you, it's a metaphor for something else. It doesn't, I think we're sort of on the same wavelength, but slightly different variants.
Okay, I'm always one to synthesize different opposite opinions, but I do hear what you're saying, Walter. In other words, maybe what the message that the Gemara is trying to convey is that Reish Lakish wanted to go back to this, but in some way he'll never be able to be at the same level as he once was, because perhaps, or not that he can't be at the same level, but that he'll... He's not as sharp as he used to be in his young age. Maybe almost to really get to the point of what Walter is trying to suggest, it's that maybe when he was younger, maybe he could be a bodybuilder and he could be a Talmud Chacham. But now that he, after spending so many years only on becoming a bodybuilder, now he's old enough where he really can only choose one path in a sense. And so he gave up this path, and so instantaneously he is ready to go down the path of Torah, but it could only be one way or the other. Maybe. Okay, let's keep going further. So What happens next? So amazingly, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they become chavrusas. But before they become chavrusas in the typical sense, in which we usually just view it as two people learning together who are on the same level, it was a very clear teacher-student sort of a relationship. Akriye v'asniye v'shavye gavra rabba yomachad. So Rabbi Yochanan taught Reish Lakish Torah. He taught him Mishnah, and he turned him into a gavra rabba, into a great man. Now Yomachad, one day, havu mipalgei be midrasha hasayif vasakin vapigyon vaharomach. And so all of a sudden, what happened? So one day, so now we have to fast forward or where we are at in the timeline. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were now learning together for a significant period of time. Reish Lakish was already now a very serious Talmud Chacham. But one day they were learning in the Beis Medrash, and they had a question about the following Braisa. The Braisa was talking about different types of weapons. They were talking about swords and knives, daggers, spears, hand sickle, all these different types of things. And all of a sudden, this question came up that me'ima sai makablin tuma. When do they become able to become impure? And the answer is mishas gemar malachton. When you're done making the tool, that's when you go ahead and allow this thing to say it's a complete vessel, and then it could become impure. And so the question is, at what point is the vessel finished being made? Meaning, at what point is it usable? Umeemasai gemar malachton. When is the sword done being made? Yeah.
Okay. Back to the beginning of this verse.
Yeah.
Why do they say Bible and not Torah?
Oh, that's just the translation. This is a bad translation.
I didn't see what I consider the word Torah.
So whenever the Gemara refers to Torah, it refers to it as kra, like literally verses. Mikra. Okay. That's just how the Gemara talks. It's not an interesting point, but I wouldn't make too much of it.
Well, no, that's why I wanted to see if there was something to be debated.
I don't believe it's not in this case. Okay, right. So umeimasai gemar malachton. So how do we know when the sword is done being made? So now we're going to have a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Good. This is amazing. This is one of the earliest disputes that we have recorded after they both became, or after Reish Lakish became the tremendous Torah scholar counterpart to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan omer misha yatzrafim bakivshan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's the sword is done being made from when one fires them in the furnace, right? They're hardened in the furnace. But Reish Lakish amar, misha yitzach tzachin b'mayim. So Reish Lakish says, no, it's not from when the fire hardens them. It's actually from when they're scoured with the water. That's an additional step after they were thrown into the furnace. That seemingly will help consolidate and sort of strengthen the sword even more so. So now let's take a look at what Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish. Amar lei lista bilistiyuse yada. He says, you know why, Reish Lakish? You know why you know this? Because any good robber knows his trade. In other words, Reish Lakish, you used to be this bandit that would go around stabbing and threatening people at gunpoint. And so, of course, you know the answer to this question, Reish Lakish, because you used to be a murderer. You used to be someone who would hold people up at gunpoint, which is, what do we think of that statement?
It's demeaning him back to his former life.
Yeah, it's really not so nice. and more than just not being nice, as Maurice said, it really is belittling to Reish Lakish. Like, who knows exactly how long he has been doing the work that he's, you know, that he's been in the Beis Medrash already. But yeah, it's like telling someone that all that time that you put in is just basically worthless because I still see you as the robber that you once were. So, not so nice. Okay, let's keep going. Amarle. So Reish Lakish then says back to Rabbi Yochanan, Umayah hanisle, what benefit did you offer to me by bringing me to where I am. In other words, Reish Lakish is saying to Rabbi Yochanan, you spent, who knows, months, years, decades, who knows exactly how long it is, training me to be this student, you know, who learns with you daily, regularly. So much time do we spend doing this. So he said, why have you brought me here? In other words, if you still see me as that same lowly bandit, then why am I here? Why have you put in all this energy? So Hasam Rabbi Karuli, and so there he says they call me the leader of the bandits, and Hacha Rabbi Karuli, and here too they call me the leader of the bandits. In other words, if I'm a bandit there and I'm a bandit here, so let me just go back to being a bandit. What's the point? So Amar Lei Anailach Daakravinach Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. So Rabbi Yochanan, clearly realizing that what he said was not really so appropriate, he says to him, no, you're wrong, or I guess you're right. I did provide you some benefit because I brought you under Hashem's heavenly presence. And so, therefore, all of a sudden, he tries to basically, you know, take a step back from what he said a second ago. Reish Lakish, you're not really this bandit. You are a tremendous Torah scholar, and I've successfully brought you under the wings of God. What do we think about that? The conclusion of that part of the conversation.
He thinks he's mighty tough. I mean, as a rabbi, right?
Who thinks he's mighty tough?
Yochanan.
Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan really doesn't is not being portrayed so nicely over here. He said something not super nice, and he doesn't really apologize, but he just basically says, no, I did a really good job making you a big Torah scholar.
Yeah. His ego.
Yeah. Again, it doesn't seem too great for Rabbi Yochanan. Larry Walter, what do you think?
I'm thinking that all of what you said is true, but it's also possible that all of these comments were fairly innocuous and not intended to be insulting, just statements of fact.
So a little snowflake sensitivity here.
Well, I don't know about snowflake sensitivity, but it's also possible that you know, neither one of them actually meant to be insulting.
Okay, but I mean, clearly they are insulted, regardless of whether or not they meant to be insulting. Right?
And they have to apologize to each other.
That's what I would say, too.
And not do it again.
Right. Walter, you can say something?
Yeah, I have two thoughts in my mind. I can't control how my mind goes. One is Yochanan is not a very subtle, he's somewhat cruel in what he says at the end. It's a cruel statement. And the other story that's starting through my mind for this whole episode is my father, with all due respect. He bought into the whole thing about retirement, happiness. I visited him once in Florida. Here we had this man who at that point was 62. He never read a book in his life, and he's holding a book at the swimming pool, and I know it's a fraud. In other words, we were told to believe, hey, look, work, suffer all this, you'll have the golden years, you can do all these things. The point I'm making was, if you don't have the antecedents, like the rabbi here, who was swimming and everything, if it's not there at an earlier point in your life, it's literally impossible to jump start. Yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be done at 62. I have never read a book before in my life. Yes, I could sit there with a thick book and start doing the magical thing, get into literature. I think it's sort of fraudulent. And we have, as I've mentioned before, it's somewhat difficult to all of a sudden jump into this new vista, this new world. At the end, to say that to him, that you're under, what were the exact words at the very end? You're under the wings of the divine. I brought you close to God under the wings of the divine presence. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Okay, good. Why?
So good. Why? It's a nasty comment.
Okay,
how
good.
About that?
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's a damn nasty comment to say to that person. Well, what the hell? But at least I brought you under, like, you're what you are, but, you know, you get the compensation prize?
Right. Exactly. It really just, instead of you know, hopefully we know a little bit better nowadays in terms of, you know, validating someone's feelings and emotions, and then, you know, trying to offer them some solace, Rabbi Yochanan's like, well, listen, you're right, you are still a robber, but, you know, at least I brought you a little closer to God, and you're welcome. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Okay, so let's keep going further, because what happens next is really just tragic. So chalash date de Rabbi Yochanan. So all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan gets really upset. Or chalash date means that like he's like weakened by the word translation they use over here, offended. I'm not crazy about that translation. He becomes weakened by all of this, and then after Rabbi Yochanan gets weakened, chalash Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish also feels weakened, and he's so weakened, asai achate, and so he becomes sick actually as a result of his becoming weakened. So how do we understand why are each of them getting sick? Let's start with Rabbi Yochanan. Why is Rabbi Yochanan getting sick, or why is Rabbi Yochanan getting chalash date?
If he's not...
So he realized that he was being a mean son of a bitch.
Okay.
And so he decided to be, you ask a question, you get an answer. Sorry.
I just wasn't expecting. Okay,
that,
so...
When you realize that you were being mean instead of just being factual, it can cause you lots of emotional grief.
Okay, and good.
That certainly started it.
Okay, good. So one way to look at this is to say that Rabbi Yochanan was just being nasty. Any other ways that we can look at this? Because I think there is another perspective that we can have over here. And again, to sort of less be less mean to Rabbi Yochanan for a second.
It's almost going to sound like we're going into psychiatry now.
Yeah, go on.
It's like his conscious versus his subconscious. And his subconscious is realizing what he's done more than his conscious, and it's affecting his body.
Okay, good. Could be. That's a fantastic perspective. Maybe that Rabbi Yochanan was not able to consciously really recognize what he had done wrong, but certainly his subconscious was, and so he's already feeling a little weaker because of it. I'll say even more blatantly, it could be that, look at this, you know, we went into this looking at this from Reish Lakish's perspective, but let's look at it from Rabbi Yochanan's perspective. Rabbi Yochanan made one comment. Was it a little inappropriate? Yeah, it was a little inappropriate. What was Reish Lakish's comment back to him? He said, hey, you know, Rabbi, you've been wasting your time. Why have you been wasting your time teaching me Torah? Clearly it's meaningless. And Rabbi Yochanan was like, what do you mean? I thought you wanted this. I've been bringing you closer to Hashem. I've been teaching you more Torah. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan says, wait a second, does he really think that he's been wasting his life with me learning Torah together? And so maybe from that perspective, not looking at Rabbi Yochanan as much as the villain over here, there was clearly just an initial miscommunication and maybe some words that should not have been shared, but it sort of escalated into this point where Rabbi Yochanan was just, you know, felt terrible because he didn't fully get why Reish Lakish was treating him this way, and he was just feeling hurt himself. And so Chalash Date Rabbi Yochanan, he was feeling sickened because he just couldn't understand how his longtime Chavrusa at this point, who he literally drew in from the water, how he has just totally turned on him after all these years. So and then Chalash Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish becomes sick over this whole thing. So again, you could look at this from two different ways. One is that you can say he's sick because he was initially offended, and that's just made him sickened over all of this. The other perspective that you might offer is that, no, he and Reish Lakish, he and Rabbi Yochanan loved each other. And when he saw that he really hurt Reish Lakish, when Reish Lakish sees that he really hurt Rabbi Yochanan, that made him sick as well. And that's really what led to what's going to happen next. So let's keep going. Ka Bachya. So all of a sudden, Asai Achate, so Kabachya, so Rabbi Yochanan's sister, who again was Reish Lakish's wife, so she comes crying to Rabbi Yochanan, and Amrale, she says to him, Asai Bishvil Banai. And so all of a sudden, she says to her brother, you know, if you're not going to apologize to Reish Lakish for my sake and make this all better, then do it not for me, but do it for the sake of my children, because my children are going to lose their father. That's how sick Reish Lakish was getting over this whole thing. Amar La, so he says back to her, no, Azva Yisomecha. He says, don't worry, let your children become orphans, because ani achaye, and I will raise your children for you. So don't worry about it. Asei b'shvil almanusi. So then she says back to him, you know, forget about my kids then. Do it for the sake of me. I don't want to be a widow. Amar la ve'almanosecha alai tivtachu. He says, no, don't worry. I'll help support you as well. So all of a sudden, this is, again, not looking so great for Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan sees his sister, who's very distraught about the state of her husband, Reish Lakish. And first she tries to say, you know, my kids are going to lose their father. That doesn't sway Rabbi Yochanan. And then she says, well, your sister's going to lose her husband. That also doesn't sway Rabbi Yochanan. And as a result of that, we'll just read the beginning of the first paragraph here. Nach nafshei d'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Reish Lakish dies because Rabbi Yochanan refused to intervene. Okay, what do we make of that?
I have something from left field. May I be permitted?
That's usually where I assume you're coming from, Walter.
No, you don't. I'm going to try to knit this all together.
Okay. Well, don't tie it up together nicely yet because we're not done.
No, but there's a thematic thing that's happening there, and that if we go back to Lakish. If he made the correct decision when he was younger not to engage in physical prowess and study Torah and study his tradition, he probably would have been much stronger as an individual. And being stronger, he probably would have been able to negotiate these things that are happening every day. And what I'm picking up, and I could be totally wrong, by not pursuing the path that I just took, he is now bereft of many things, including a moral compass. And therefore, now, as we're starting on this episode, he is now vulnerable to this world, to this temporal world, and all these things that plague people. He does not have a moral compass, which he could have had if he changed his thinking when he was younger.
Okay, that's a little bit out of left field, more so than usual. But I hear the perspective. Okay, anyone else have something to share?
I think it's really frustrating that these guys have been studying together for however long, and they really don't understand each other. They don't really get each other's outlook and behavior and so on. They can be mean to each other, realize they were mean to each other, but they won't do anything about it. They won't apologize. They won't go back. They won't. And Rabbi Yochanan is simply not interested in helping his sister or helping his friend. One would think that they would have more feelings for each other.
Okay, good. Yeah, Maurice?
Definitely his ego has gotten in the way.
Okay, so it definitely seems to be egos gotten in the way for sure. I would almost, let's look at them less as, let's be a little less cruel for a second, which I understand where you're coming from, and just look at them as the human beings that they were, and also, like, why Chazal are telling us the story, right? This didn't have to be recorded in the Gemara, so clearly there's something more that we're being led to believe over here. And certainly, is there a stubbornness among both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Absolutely. Is there maybe even a more severe stubbornness in Rabbi Yochanan? Absolutely. I think, though, that what we're being led to think over here is something even more deep than perhaps what we have, you know, pulled out so far. And that is that human relationships are beyond complex, and in particular, even two Torah scholars who learn together with one another, even their relationships are complex. Could they have been more aware of the other's emotions? Absolutely. Could they have validated better and been nicer? Absolutely. But there's a complexity there that sometimes, even though we could see it staring us in our faces as we're reading it, they were not able to see it staring them in the face. Rabbi Yochanan absolutely loved Reish Lakish, and vice versa. Reish Lakish was seemingly sick over the fact that he made Rabbi Yochanan sick. And Rabbi Yochanan was so sickened that Reish Lakish was sick, but he couldn't bring himself to make it all better. And it would seem that there is just something very complex going on, almost that's unwritten in the text. That's, we're not maybe meant to fully understand why, but more just recognize that look what can happen if you do not allow yourself to really put yourself fully in the other's shoes. Even two greats could not figure it out the right way. So let's keep reading a little bit more, and let's reach the end of the story. So all of a sudden, after Reish Lakish died, then Rabbi Yochanan was in tremendous amount of pain. So what happened? So Basrei Tuva of Amru Rabbanan, so the rabbis try to calm him after everything, after losing his chavrusa, and they say, here's what we're going to do. Man leizel liatove ledate neizel Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. So they say, here's what we're going to do. You lost your chavrusa, Rabbi Reish Lakish, so we're going to bring you someone who's going to make you feel comforted, and that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. He's going to be your new chavrusa. They're like making shiduchim now over chavrusas. So here's your new chavrusa, and why are you going to like him? Because he was a genius. His statements were sharp. He was an incredibly wise individual. He will be the perfect substitute for Reish Lakish. So what happens? Azal Yosef Kame Kol Milsa Dahava Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leitani De Messiah Lach Amar Atkvar Lakisha Bar Lakisha. So what happens? Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas sits in front of Rabbi Yochanan. They start learning together, and everything that Rabbi Yochanan says, all of a sudden Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says, "Oh, you know what? There's a brisa that supports your opinion," and he brought proofs for everything that Rabbi Yochanan said. And so all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan says, "You're not Bar Lakish. You're not Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a much would accept things much less frequently than you do." And so what is Rabbi Yochanan realizing in this moment?
They brought him a yes man to make him feel better.
They absolutely brought him a yes man. And what is Rabbi Yochanan realizing? Or what are we realizing, perhaps, as the readers of the story at this point?
Having a discussion with somebody who disagreed with you is more enlightening than having someone just agree with you.
Yep, exactly.
Bobby Fischer, the probably the greatest chess player in the world, at least when he was alive, used to say that he learned more when he lost than when he won.
Exactly.
Rabbi,
yes?
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Sir, when you were studying Talmud and Torah, you constantly probably had disagreements with the person with whom you were studying.
Sure.
Violent disagreements.
Sure.
However, you personally were not devastated. Number two, what we have here is an individual who was bereft of many things because of decisions that he made in earlier life, and he is vulnerable. And I'm more convinced of what I'm saying. He is a very vulnerable individual. I still say it's a parable. It's a parable about one's course and one's trajectory of life here.
No, but what do you make of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan has been learning Torah since he was a wee boy.
Right.
And so... Right. So
okay, but when there's the disagreement, if you are at a certain evolutionary point, I don't know what the word is, and someone criticizes you, it becomes a personal thing. You don't have the resources and the knowledge inside you to respond. And it becomes a personal attack because you are bereft of so many things.
Walter, pause for a second. So who's bereft? Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? Because I thought you were talking about Reish Lakish.
Yes. He's the one that I'm speaking about. Yes. Not Yochanan. No.
Well, I think Yochanan is somewhat bereft of understanding human interactions also.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, he clearly didn't realize that pointing out that Resh Lakish had been a thief, a bandit, would be insulting. And when everything started going downhill, he didn't do anything to try and fix the problem. When his sister came to him and said, "I need your help," he didn't provide any real help. Not what she wanted, anyway.
Okay.
Not what she asked for.
And perhaps we come to understand why the relationship with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was so beautiful. Because all of a sudden we realize that Rabbi Yochanan brought certain skills and Reish Lakish brought other skills. And it's almost that Reish Lakish had to die to teach Rabbi Yochanan the final lesson that he needed to teach him, which is you can't just say things, even if they're true, you can't just bluntly shoot something out like that that could really hurt someone else. And only now was Rabbi Yochanan actually beginning to learn that, because again, the Gemara says, "Ki hava amina milsa hava makshele esrin ve'arba kushyasa." So he says that that the reason why this new guy, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, he didn't like, because he was just yesing him. And whenever I used to tell something to Reish Lakish, he would bring me 24 arguments against what I said. And then, umafrakina le esrin va'arba piruki. And I would argue back with 24 answers from the halacha. Umameila rav chashamata va'at amra tanya de messiah lach atula yadana de shapir kamene. And nonetheless, you're going to say to me that there's a proof for what I say. Rabbi Yochanan says to this guy, Rabbi Elazar ben Hadas, who's not a guy, he's a big rabbi, but he says, I don't need a proof. I want someone who's going to go and fight back with me. So, okay, let's keep going now. We're going to about to finish. Hava ka'azil v'kara mane v'kabache. So Rabbi Yochanan went around just being in a total state of mourning. V'amar hecha at bar lakish. And he would say, where's my Reish Lakish? Hecha at bar lakish. Where's my Reish Lakish? V'hava ka'tzavach ad shaf date mine. And so Rabbi Yochanan screamed so deeply and was so pained by this until he basically lost his mind a little bit. I'm gonna mute you, Maurice. Oh, you got like unmuted for a second. Whatever. Okay, yeah. So that wasn't good, obviously. And Bo Rabbanan Rachame Alei V'Nach Nafshei. And the rabbis all daven for Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan dies as a result of this. And so it's really just a tragic story that the Gemara is relating over here about two people who just took a wrong turn. They started off really strong, and then they learned for quite some time, and then they just took a wrong turn, and they were not able to come back from that, and it led to both of their deaths. And so there's a lot of layers here to really unpack. But there's one message in particular here that I think is important to take away. Anyone want to suggest maybe what the one message that we need to gather and garner from this story? And why the rabbis found it important to share this with us, right? Because that's really the underlying question over here. Why did this story need to be a part of the Gemara? So I think
actually there are regrets. There are regrets. And looking back, they should have been, able to negotiate all these countervailing thoughts that were going between each other and realize the important thing with their lives and study, you know. And they got off base completely. And when you get off base, it's just disaster.
Okay, good. One perspective is just to say,
the question is, how do you avoid this disaster, this unmitigated disaster? What are the strategies that could have been used prior at each step to avoid this?
Okay, good. One perspective you can take is maybe less, this is Chazal showing us that even the greats can make mistakes and one should learn from their mistakes. Could be. Something maybe a little bit, maybe even a little bit more simple and almost glaring, staring us in the face. So I think what Chazal were trying to accomplish over here by sharing this story with us is to show us just how important it is to have someone who is able to be your partner in terms of Torah, right? We, from the very beginning, have always believed in terms of having a partner to learn Torah with, and that Torah learned by oneself, just, you know, in isolation, is never going to be worth as much as it could be if you were learning with someone else. That's why we have a tradition that it's not that Moshe just got all the information of the Torah zapped into his head. No, he learned the Torah b'chavrusa with Hashem, that they learned together as a pair. And it's almost as if Chazal were trying to teach for us over here that did Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish each have individual flaws? Absolutely. Did each of them sometimes get on each other's nerves, and did their relationship have flaws? Absolutely. But one thing that we learn more than anything else is that ultimately, why did Reish Lakish die, and ultimately, why did Rabbi Yochanan die? Likely, if we're to read this carefully, Reish Lakish probably dies because he was so sickened for having hurt Rabbi Yochanan, and certainly Rabbi Yochanan dies because he was so sickened for not really realizing what he had and then losing it and then being unable to go on. And so ultimately, I think what the Gemara is trying to teach us over here is just this importance of having a chavrusa, which seems so simple. But in other contexts as well, our rabbis tell us, oy chavrusa oy misusa, that if you don't have a chavrusa, if you don't have someone who you can grow in Judaism with together, then what's the point of life? And what the rabbis were really trying to convey over here is that the legendary relationship between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish really was that. And when you have that, you have to hold on to it for dear life. And God forbid you should lose it, and you could face an end similar to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And so the message is, work on trying to find someone who you can learn Torah with and learn Torah from and grow together as a union. And I think that's probably the primary takeaway over here.
Bye.
Yeah.
Adding to what you said, I'm sorry. Can we just add that if in a situation where you don't have, you have two people, but one, Chrusa, did not have knowledge at an earlier point in his or her life, it's also doomed. You're in a terrible handicap. That's what I keep picking up. I'm agreeing with you completely. But we start off with this deficiency. Deficiency. This is from the overture. We have this deficiency. And I think this person, I think we're stained if we have this deficiency.
So I don't know. My leaning is to say the exact opposite. That the only reason why it worked between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is because they were so different. That's what made Reish Lakish special. He was the only one willing to fight with Rabbi Yochanan. All these other rabbis that they brought to Rabbi Yochanan to try to learn with him, they were incredible talmidei chachamim, but not a single one of them knew how to learn with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan needed someone who would be a little bit at odds with him in order to get to the bottom of, you know, the truth of Torah. And so they were different. And that's the whole point. You opposites attract. You do want someone who is different. So I'm not sure I fully agree, Walter.
What? Sorry.
I said I'm not sure I fully agree with your perspective. I hear, but I don't know if I agree. And that's the point, isn't it?
Just don't say anything about the other guy right now.
And Walter, when you were abandoned. All right. Anyone have any final thoughts? Okay, great.
How about a quick question? Anybody interested in doing this as a lunch and learn?